Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And it's snowing. It's
something. It's precipitating.
It looks like snow out that window. That's snowflakes flying.
The hard, pellety kind of snowflakes.
Yeah.
They're not going to stick. We've had enough warm days here in Minnesota, but it is definitely doing something.
Yes. And I don't like it. We don't need it.
It's a very great day.
Although, I mean, we actually do need it.
Yeah, I think we're still in a drought. Like, we haven't gotten much snow at all, so there's no snow melt to help alleviate any drought conditions. And if you hear the dulcet chimes of a bun bun munching salad, that is Asta. We are recording much later than normal, but there was a cake, there were chores, there was supper.
There were so many chores.
Yeah, but now we have impromptu orange cake.
Yes.
With an orange jelly layer. And chocolate frosting.
Yeah, we had oranges to use up, and we could juice them just for orange juice, but then I looked in like the 1950s Betty Crocker book, which during COVID, we worked our way through 1 year in terms of trying out different baking.
How far? We didn't make it all the way through.
No, but we would always go that way and be like, let's try a new one.
Oh, until we found the cinnamon twists, and I was like, I like these. Let's make these all the time.
I think that's the same cookbook that has the Sally Lund.
Cake?
Yes.
Or loaf or something?
I think it's a cake. The Sally Lund? I don't know.
Who is she?
There's nothing besides Sally Lund as the title of it. So it's not like cake or loaf or anything. It's just, I made a Sally Lund.
As you do.
Yes.
Ooh, the klotchkes we tried.
Oof.
And then they rose, and we tried to affix the points back in on itself with toothpicks.
Desperately tried.
No. It was tasty.
Yeah, except... Yeah.
Messy, but tasty.
Yeah.
Which is probably what this cake is going to be.
They didn't contain the jelly very well. Like, the jelly sort of baked in.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So it was like a flavored bread, basically. That looked like a ninja star.
So instead of drinking the juice like normal people would to use up oranges,
you
made the cake.
Yeah, because I'm like, there has to be a fucking orange loaf recipe in this Betty Crocker. Lo and behold, there was. And I was like, or you could make it as 2 8-inch cakes for a layer cake.
Yeah. And with all the juice, I like threw some pectin together and dropped it in with some cornstarch and cooked it. And it
looped. It glooped. It's jiggly.
And wobble.
So
there's some of that in the middle and on top, and then there's chocolate frosting we just sort of threw together.
Yeah.
So it may not look like much because I'm bad at frosting things in a neat and fashionable way. But it'll still be good.
Yeah.
It smelled really good. I put extra vanilla and almond and an extra orange rind. Because I feel like we found that orange bakes away.
Maybe
easily, like,
yeah,
you think you have enough, and then you're like, oh, it's a whisper of an aura of an essence.
Yeah,
of an orange.
And the recipe called for 1 tablespoon of zest.
I zested in 4 oranges.
Yes, so it plenty.
Yeah,
hopefully we'll find out after this.
You can check out my Instagram for pictures of a messy ass orange cake.
We were so busy yesterday. We went to a play, and
that was really good.
And then our foster bun Clyde went to a sitter, and then we went and had supper at Red Lobster because we had a gift card.
Went to Half Price Books.
Where I was like, oh, wow, they have like the whole run of DC TNG, and I need like 6 issues.
Did you though?
And I found all of them. And then I brought up the short box this morning, and I'm like, oh, I can just file them right now. Like, get it done. Don't let that stack grow even bigger. And I was like, I have all these issues. I did not maintain this checklist well.
Oh, no.
And we're going to be visiting Mile High Comics this week. And I was like, I need to check because I have all of DC Volume 2 of Star Trek, which is TOS.
Yep.
And I was like, all right. I know I have some missing issues maybe from Volume 1. And I checked right then, and I'm missing an annual and a regular issue. So I'm hoping that Mile High Comics, with its bazillion issues, I can find these two. And then I'll have every DC Star Trek printed ever.
Oh, then do we need to start looking at the Malibu DS9 or?
I have, because of that auction, remember, a few months ago, I have all of Malibu DS9.
Far out.
Yeah.
And now you have a gold cover signed by Gordon Purcell.
I do.
Of issue one.
It's so like this Star Trek feature on our podcast is going to keep going for years. It'll go for as long as we want it to, because there's enough comics.
It's true. And the new comics for Star Trek are good.
I would love to say I have every Star Trek comic ever. I can't start collecting IDW because they've had 500 fucking issues. Like, yeah,
they've had a lot.
And a lot of it is Kelvin timeline. And I'm like,
boldly go.
Do I need to read like dozens of issues?
You had some and then you gave them to me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, but I can settle for having all the DC and Malibu stuff in addition to Marvel.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot. And it's a lot of adventures. I'm looking forward to being done with the book. Like
the Alpha Flight book.
Yeah. The Alpha Flight book is going to be done rough draft wise within a month, hopefully shorter. Like I have one more interview scheduled so far. I'm hoping for a second one and maybe a third. I have an interview offer out for someone else, but I am coordinating with Keith Williams, who did inks for John Byrne.
Yeah.
So, I really wanted his voice to be represented and that era of the book to be represented, which aside from archival John Byrne interviews there's really nothing. It's not like John Byrne's going to talk to me. So, I'm glad I'm getting some new quotes to put alongside those quotes that have been out there forever.
And there are other cool people that are helping you with the book.
Yes.
With like forewords and blurbs and
stuff. Yes. Yes. I'm really excited. So the rough draft should be done. And our friend Laura is our editor. She's listening. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
She's doing a great job, like understanding a comic book, like, she has not been exposed to the crazy world we're really immersed in, where it's like volumes versus issues versus like
versus chapters and eras
and the nomenclature. Like if you're not used to it, think about this, fair listeners, from an outside perspective, we sound crazy. So Laura is going over my rough draft right now because I'm just adding in quotes right now. So it's taking me a long time, as most books do, but I haven't been able to really indulge in comics because I've been so busy reading Alpha Flight everything.
It's true.
So
yeah, there's some of the newer Trek run that you have. There's the Marvels, Miracles.
Yes.
That was recently done. I think I got all the covers I wanted too from CEX.
Okay.
There's a Nick Robles cover.
Mm.
That was great. I think that was one that I was hunting for, sort of like a David Tlaski Frankenstein, Universal Frankenstein cover.
Yeah,
maybe that's what I'll look for at Mile High, because we're going to Colorado tomorrow and seeing one of my best friends ever. We're going to laugh. We're going to make all sorts of inappropriate comments. I'm going to teach her Wingspan, that she's going to hate learning new games, but she's going to love it, I hope. And then we're going to sit in some hot springs for hopefully
a couple days.
Yeah.
And then we're flying in and staying with your friends. Mm-hmm. And then we're all getting into a car, driving 5 hours to some hot springs. I have packed so many activities to stay busy. Including some Alpha Flight book stuff, where I'm like, if I'm going to be traveling, it's a trapper keeper with a bunch of printed material. And I have a highlighter, like I have my pencil pouch in there.
Oh, of course.
With a highlighter and some writing utensils. And a bunch of handheld games, like the Tiger handheld games.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm trying not to be on electronics a whole lot, and I don't count those as electronics because
because they're from the 90s.
Yeah. I have my original Mighty Max one, a Star Trek The Next Generation one. A Jurassic Park one, which is a reissue. That's from like 2020.
Oh.
And what's the other one?
Would you let their small child play with them?
If he wants to, but he can't beat my high scores. I might keep Mighty Max. I need to preserve that high score. That one I've been rocking since I got it new in the 90s.
Oh, okay. So we just had a cookie counter where you could do math, and there's a cookie monster would juggle cookies. And once you made it to seven, then the second cookie would appear and it would get faster and faster and
Oh.
faster. One of my sis good sisters is very good at it, but
I'm
she's good
sure
at
she was,
everything.
yeah. And so I've packed and crocheting stuff to crochet dishcloths while I'm sitting around.
I love your dishcloths though.
Yeah.
They have an appropriate level of scrubbiness, and the smaller ones are great to bring to work
Yeah.
because then I can wash my lunch dishes and not rely on like they will at work have a lot of compostable stuff, but not have to rely on disposable things as much.
Yeah.
Especially because I have a jar of oatmeal every morning,
Oh.
which is has been actually really good, except when I burned my arm on the
Yeah.
steam from the electric kettle.
That's not fun.
But yeah,
So.
oats, flax, dried cherries or blueberries, cinnamon and honey. And I stopped measuring. I just sort of like scoop,
Yeah.
and then you just sort of add water once you eat it down a little bit.
Yeah. So I have plenty of activities to keep me busy on our 10-hour round trip car ride.
We're going to see the great sand dunes.
Where is this? Like, people are like, where do you go from Denver? I'm like, I don't know.
The
Toward the
spring.
desert? I don't, which direction is that? Fuck if I know.
South.
I didn't even know that Colorado was that big.
What?
I didn't know that was like 5 hours from the center of the state where Denver is to not
Oh.
even a border.
Oh, yeah. It's like when I would drive, it would be 4 hours from Junction, which is basically the Utah, 30 minutes from the Utah border. Like 4 hours and change to Denver, and then it was like another 2.5 to get to that diagonal where Nebraska is cut out.
Oh.
So it was like I've done the 14 hours from Grand Junction to the farm in Iowa,
Oh.
and I only stopped twice when I got gas and used the bathroom
Oh.
because I wasn't going to stop. I was going to keep on going as long as I could. But yeah, I'm excited. We are staying on site for Pagosa Springs, so we have 24-hour access to the pools. It's going to be great. We can do the like look at the night sky at elevation with probably minimal light pollution in a hot spring. That's super cool.
Yeah.
So I was told I need to take pictures, which I'm generally bad at, but maybe
Oh.
we'll post something. I
I
don't
don't
know.
know. Do you want to know about some of our downloads? I know what we should give some shout outs
We
to
have
around
to.
the world.
Oh.
Because I have a map. And I'm really sad that the little dot that was in Chad is gone. Not Chad Anderson, but the country.
It's because of the US
And
Foreign Aid Service.
well, we have a couple in Finland.
Oh.
Yeah. We have one in Portugal, another little dot in Spain. There's one near Paris.
Wow.
Yeah. Quite a few in Germany and England.
I think one of my older sister's friends lives in Portugal now, which good
Maybe
for
she's
them from getting
listening.
from the Twin Cities to.
There's also a dot in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. So someone on a cruise ship, maybe, or a transatlantic flight. Amelia Earhart listens to this podcast.
How far out are the Canaries or the Azores?
I don't know.
And
I just
the
asked you about how big Colorado
Atlantic.
is. You think I'm gonna know where some fucking islands are?
And the Atlantic is
I
growing.
know where Bermuda is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it is growing because then it's the Mid-Atlantic Ridge as it comes apart.
You know, the world's going to end somehow, and it might as well be with an ocean.
Apparently, dark energy is weakening, so we might be headed towards the Big
Is it?
Crunch in like 20 billion years. Yeah, there's a whole article about how
The.
exciting it was that we don't know jack about the universe. And it's like, oh, hey, the fun discovery,
I also
but
want
also the Big Crunch.
to give a shout out to the 5.48% of our listeners from Canada.
No.
They're probably coming here for Alpha Flight content, but hopefully Star Trek content too.
It's
We
true.
should get into it.
I bet they know their geography, unlike people I went to college with who were
Are
like,
you just breeding me right now?
well, you're not as bad as the people who on the West Coast were like, it goes the West Coast, the Rockies, the Appalachians, the East Coast without anything in between. Like there's a whole time zone.
So we are picking up midway through a story.
Yeah.
And I'm glad. I mean, maybe I should have read the issues to plot this out better. But hey, we have three issues for everyone. One of them is a standalone.
We have a donut. We should
Yeah.
address the donut in the room.
Yep.
Issue 12.
is part of Telepathy Wars.
So we'll cover it at some point.
Yes, we have to get through this series and then Voyager.
Yes.
I think I need to double check that Voyager run to make sure there's a Telepathy War crossover somehow. I think there is. I think we've talked about it and we're like, how?
That doesn't make sense, but okay.
I think they're doing it.
Yeah.
All right. So to catch us up to speed.
We get a flashback. We get a very pale previously on to the very first episode of Star Trek.
It's the cage.
It is. Once upon a time, there was a brave starship captain named Pike, and it's him and I want to say Vera. Vina.
Yes. Played by Susan Oliver.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
Iconic. So she's leading him towards a cave, and there's some very judgy looking Talosians. Mm-hmm. So recapping, he went there and he went back when Spock violated General Order 7 to bring him there.
General Order 7 is, if you go to Talos 4, you're dead.
Yeah, we will kill you. Interesting that
was the seventh General Order of all time in Starfleet. We only have six, but this new seventh one is all about Talos 4.
General Order 1 is the Prime Directive, right?
Yes.
Now you've heard it referenced like that.
They took their time with General Orders.
So the Talosians are powerful telepaths. Their heads do throb. They pulsate.
Yep.
There's got to be a word like moist, but for pulsate that I feel like people have feelings about.
No.
But they created this vision of health and youth for Vina. And when Spock
she was all disfigured.
Yeah. From she's the gross crash. Looking. So then Pike goes there. Spock drops him off so he can also live out this young, healthy life for himself.
After he got in his beep beep chair.
Yes, after the accident. That is the plot line for Strange New World, sort of.
Yeah.
And Discovery Season 2.
We know that Anson Mount is going to end up in that chair somehow.
It's true.
All right, so our title is what?
Return to the Forbidden Planet, Part 2.
Part 2.
A prelude to war. So we have our fearless
It's a cadets. Prelude to the telepathy war.
They're in front of the same rock formation, which is...
It's in California. Well, but Talos 4.
Yes. California. Talos 4, by way of the name of those rocks that I can think
of. Oh, Vasquez Rocks.
Yes. Where all the Star Treks happen.
Yes.
So the Jem'Hadar are firing. The cadets are firing back. There's some limited telepathy by the Talosians. They, as powerful as their telepathy is, they struggle with the Jem'Hadar. Edom doesn't have the same issue. But they are mounting this last stand. The Talosians help by sort of creating these false images to distract the Jem'Hadar. So they go in. There's too many. And Pike is like, stand your ground, cadet, stick to the plan. T'Pol got hit. And Edam is very concerned for her. Somehow getting hit by a phaser blast. This has created a cut on her forehead.
Maybe she fell against something.
Maybe. She bleeds green, as is appropriate for a Vulcan. Or Romulan.
Yes.
And Nog shows up in the runabout, blasting all of the remaining Jem'Hadar. And they can breathe for a little bit. And Decker's sort of having a moment. But Pike is like, it's okay. You'll be a great officer someday. And he's like, if we survive this, we can't keep fighting these skirmishes. There's too many. We need a plan.
Yes.
So Edom delves into the brains of the Jem'Hadar on the planet, sort of giving some more synopsis to why the Jem'Hadar are there.
They were on that ship, but they were born on the ship on the way there, and then they're rapidly aged.
Yes, on some sort of freighter. And it doesn't make sense because this is a one-way mission. They destroyed their freighter and all other evidence on arrival. Why? How are these Jem'Hadar going to get to other planets?
And why is it a one, this is the first part of their plan to take out all the telepaths.
Right. Vulcans, so, Yulians, Betazoids, Talosians. So they're starting with the top of the pecking order.
But why wouldn't you hop in your ship after that and
genocide go to the next planet? Exactly. I don't know.
They're not good at genocide. Which is fine.
I mean, there must not be a founder in charge because they were very good. based on the rumors that DS9 heard from the Gamma Quadrant.
Yes.
So they discover, like, if we take out the Ketracel White, then the Jem'Hadar will lose their minds.
If people are not familiar with Ketracel White, it's basically what keeps them alive, and it's also sort of crack.
It is. They are addicted to it as a control mechanism for the Founders, and they need it, and they go nuts without it.
They call it the White.
They do. There's some little orgasm sounds sometimes and shudders when they get a fresh vial inserted.
Don't you love a fresh vial inserted?
Oh.
Hey, snow just blew by a window. Like, yeah, a drift.
It's that fine, pellety stuff. It's not the fun snow where it's like chonky and falling. No. So
what is falling
is Edom for Tapriel, and she has feelings and kisses him on the mouth.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Which,
that was a great segue by us, by the way. And if we're not nominated for a podcast award just for that segue, I don't know what's wrong with the world.
Because he's like, what is happening? Did she really just do this?
What, Vulcan shouldn't be doing this.
Not at all.
They shouldn't be playing with my tongue with theirs.
No. So Edom works with the Talosians to sort of project this image of the Ketracel White and the shield that protects it. There's only three guards. And Nog is like, I'm sneaky, I'll go. And Pava's like, nope, I'll go, Nog. And Pike is sides with Pava. She can be nearly as covert as Nog can. And if a fight breaks out, she will kick everyone's ass.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, Nog.
And so she gets the... I didn't realize that when Lower Decks had the Black Ops references with the suits and the weird hood, it was older than that, because that's what Pava's wearing now. So good for Lower Decks for having done their research.
They really did.
It's a fun show.
You just found out about Big Spock.
I did. Yeah, because Big Spock's skeleton was in Lower Decks, and we, during our watch along with the Star Trek gays, are working through the animated series, and we met Big Spock. Size queen. So Pava beams in nearby. Like, she's very good at her job. She's thinking there's no cover for her approach. She'll have to rely on the Talosians to hide me with illusions. There's a distraction by the runabout. And she zoops through the shield with the phase modulator that they whip together, because at least some of them have taken engineering courses. So of course they can just like zip zip and create something out of nothing, as any good Federation engineer should.
Yes.
So she goes in, she blows it up. There's a boom and a vorp. The vorp specifically in my head is the shield generator blowing up.
Okay.
And the plan was for her to beam out, but all that explosion released a whole bunch of ionizing gas around them, so the transporters are not effective. Tapriel needs 3 minutes and we'll work it out. The cadets want to go in and set down the runabout, blast their way to save her. But Pike is like, nope, we can't land the ship in a hot zone. If there's something happens to the ship, it's the only way that the cadets can get out, the only way a message can get out about this incursion. So Pava's there. She figures it out. She's like, oh, they haven't beamed me up yet. Oh, their disruptors aren't working. My phaser's not working. I'm going to have to kick ass. And she does. But then so do the Jem'Hadar.
No.
It's rough. Edom does what he can. So he will read the Jem'Hadar's movements and convey them to Pava so she can dip, dive, dodge.
Jumping.
Yes, there's some jumping involved when they go low to tackle. And the Jem'Hadar is like, impossible, woof, as they just get punched before they can finish the thought. Except there's a Jem'Hadar behind her, lifts her up, and very Bane and Batman / pro wrestling, drops her over their knee, breaks her back.
Yeah.
So she's on the ground. Edom is sort of taken out, having been in such close contact with her as his pain happens. And they're about to kill her. And Tapriel is like, I can get enough with the transporters. I'm not going to beam her because it's not going to work. I'm going to beam the Jem'Hadar
into a slurry,
into like a pile of organic mush.
Yep.
Like, that is some messed up shit to use a transporter like that.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, T'Priel, you okay? And she's like, I have to focus on other things.
It means she turned them into heaps of twisted inside out flesh. And in his mind, part of her enjoyed doing it. Oh, T'Priel, what's happening with you? And they open the door and Nog and Decker are like, oh my God.
Becky, but, look at her butt.
But they get Pava out. They get off the rock. We find out that the Pike that's been working with them is just an illusion. Pike died some 50 years before.
We already knew he was an illusion.
Well, yes, but they thought that his BP chair was down below.
Yep. And the Talosians are like, actually, Vina and Pike have been dead for 50 years, but
we made them up.
The power was always within you.
It's true. They hold their own memories of Pike plus information from the cadets to create this visage of Pike.
And they're like, we got little bits of each of you to put into his personality to just strengthen your resolve.
Edom sort of knew about it. He figured it out.
That doesn't mean I like him anymore.
I don't know why T'Priel does. But the Talosians, we created the illusion of Pike not only from our own memories, but from you. You look at yourselves and you see only cadets mired in the perceived failings of the past. But all those qualities you admired in Pike, his perseverance and his resourcefulness, his cunning and his courage, his rebellious, indomitable spirit, and the leadership that turned a handful of cadets into a force to be reckoned with, all were drawn from your own minds and perhaps not from the sources you would expect. So, in gratitude for your service to Talos, we offer you this knowledge. Look deep into yourselves and you'll find all that you could wish for in a Starfleet officer, for better or for worse. Consider that on your voyage home. Like, that's for better or for worse. I don't know if that part needed to be added.
No, I feel that's a bit unnecessary.
Yeah. So they land, Pava gets taken to sickbay, they immediately juice Edom up. And they're arrested. And who's their defense attorney for the possible death penalty?
It's Spock. He's like,
if anyone is familiar with the telepathic compulsions from Talosians, it's him. He hasn't been put to death.
I want to read one of these letters, which I read to you yesterday.
Oh, and I sputtered.
Dear bozos at Starfleet Academy, what the heck do you think you're doing by killing off Camilla? I don't think 5 issues is enough to know a character. We had almost a full season to know Tasha Yar. We had 2 years to know Seska. I think you should find a way to bring her back. Edom Astron sucks. All capital letters. He acts so gay, in parentheses, homosexual.
Not in capital letters.
No, but with an exclamation point. But then in parenthetical. I still will buy the comic to see if you take my comments to heart.
It's like, what?
And then, so this would be Polly Watson, probably the assistant editor, responding. There are plenty of gay cadets at the Academy, Andrew, but Edom isn't one of them. Sometimes it's the person you least expect.
Decker. He seems tragically heterosexual.
Yeah. He acts so gay. I mean, I'm imagining Jenna Maroney from 30 Rock saying that about someone as to why she's not getting attention. Like, he's acting so gay.
But then she also had to say
homosexual. Just the fact that they printed this letter, it just fucking sends me. So Andrew Hogan of South Glen Falls, New York, fuck off. I hope you're listening. He's not. He would not be listening to people who are so gay.
Homosexual.
Okay. So we run into issue 11, which is a procedural. We love a good courtroom procedural and track.
Okay, so anyone who's listening who likes Law and Order for the courtroom drama.
Oh, is this where I should just say true crime so that some algorithm picks it up and we get more downloads? I think I should.
I mean, courtroom drama, wink, wink, nudge,
true
nudge.
True crime happened.
But Star Trek, you're really going into it. Star Trek does some very, very good courtroom dramas.
They do.
Like, all through the series, well, except for maybe the one on Disco with the Romulan Tribunal thing, where like, or the Vulcan, pure logic.
Did I see that one?
You might have given up on it by then. But her mom is there, the Kulat Mulat. Mm-hmm. But TOS has some great, like, the court martial.
Yes.
Episodes. TNG does with Drumhead. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's at least, oh, the Data, is he a human or not?
Yep.
DS9 has great ones with the Klingon colony ship that our transport ship that Worf blew up.
Oh, yeah.
But my favorite, because I love the old lady magistrate, is Dax, who is joined. The same Dax who committed a crime in a different host body, mm-hmm. or is it the same? How do you separate a joined Trill? Can you even?
Mm.
Like, very, very good. Also, Strange New Worlds did it with the defense for Una.
Yes.
Number one. Oh, so good.
So, before we dive into this, there is a judgmental being in the room with us. It is Asta. Salad.
She was so mad at us. We tried to pick her. I picked her up so we could try and get this tuft that's
on
her mouth.
Yeah.
She was not having it. She thumped. She glared. She was pissed.
She honked.
In displeasure.
Yeah.
And then we cleaned and ran the vacuum, which she also hates.
Yeah.
So we have given her so many treats to try and win back her favor.
Yeah. I don't know if it's working.
She's listing.
So this issue is called Judgment. And
<Asta. laughs>
the first person called is Commander Zund,
who we learn in the data pages is a joined Trill.
Yes.
The Zund symbiote is on its 13th lifetime.
I didn't even read this.
Which, I don't know, the way that Dax did it, like, Dax was over Trill weddings. They had, like, four as a bride, three as a groom. That's why she did the Klingon wedding with Worf.
Yep. But it says here she's only 21.
Yeah.
A commander?
A commander. That seems... This is what happens, I think, when they don't have a Star Trek person.
Oh, someone from Paramount, like, really looking at... Like, Paramount's still looking at everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, little things like that getting by where it's like, a commander would be upper 20s.
If they're good.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so she's called to the stand first, and... We know that some people are not here, so Pava, obviously.
Oh, she's in sickbay. They're zooming her in.
They are.
Before Zoom was a thing.
Yes. And Spock, I guess, is just sitting there for now. He's waiting. He has a plan.
He does. I'm going to spoil something. The plan is Boothby.
Yes.
Did not see that coming.
I mean, he's in the data page.
He's one of
the characters, Boothby. Like, it's not even all the cadets on this page, but Boothby gets one. So, basically, they're breaking things down and trying to figure out if they're, one, guilty of breaking General Order 7, and two, well, then you're going to die. So, I'd say passions are high, and... They clear spectators out because you have other cadets in there, like, supporting their friends, but they're bringing in someone who has more knowledge of Talos IV.
And they don't even want to talk about Talos IV.
No.
Like, you can't do that around other people.
Right. So this is the person that Spock is calling as a witness.
Yes. And Zweber? Zweller?
Sure. Zweller. Corey Zweller.
He's a commander.
And one of these admirals has a little shuck surprise.
Oh, I missed that one.
I just saw it now.
Oh.
So Zweller comes in And Spock is like, tell me about your time with Cadet Jean-Luc Picard.
What? Picard story.
It's a Picard story.
He doesn't
and
even
it's,
go here.
It's young Picard with hair and Zweller with darker hair. And then there is...
I had a very hard time separating the two of them, but one of their hair is straighter. One of them is wavier.
Mm.
And I think...
Because it's done, like, because it's a flashback story sort of thing. It's in blues.
Blues, there's some pinks and mauves, but there's not... It's one of those washed out things so that you know that it's a flashback.
So there is a female character named Marty.
It's not Grease, but
yes,
it could be.
And she apparently, where's the term? It's later in here, but she is pregnant with a baby.
An alien baby.
Yeah, but it's incompatible. It's an incompatible pregnancy.
Yes.
So they end it. Because she has this alien baby, it's already pumping some alien stuff into her own body.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's the only way to fix it is to, because this baby has to be aborted no matter what. Like, it will not go to term.
No.
No matter what.
And so it left Marty in a catatonic state.
And the only way to get her out of it is to use some of the enzymes?
Yes.
From the aborted fetus. To heal her, but you can't do that because it's genetic manipulation, right. Which they learned from Khan, Noonien, and Singh. You can't do that. It is outlawed in the Federation.
Yep, that's why we get all the attention around Dr. Bashir when they find out that he's genetically engineered.
So they're like, shit. And this doctor is like, I can't do anything. Not like I'm on this one planet where such things can happen.
You get to Praxis.
And, So the two male cadets are in a bar being real sad. And they're like, do you think he mentioned that planet name on purpose to like tell us to go there? Or was he just dumb?
Was it a wink, wink, nudge, nudge situation?
And they're like, well, we don't know if it was a wink, wink, nudge, nudge or not, but we're going there.
And they check out their catatonic friend. Like they hover her out of the hospital somehow.
Yes.
And take a runabout or whatever they had back in the day.
Yeah.
Some sort of shuttle to Interpraxis.
Yes. We got ahead of ourselves. We're back in the courtroom.
There's some interstitial.
Yeah. Spock is like, the telepathic cry was meant for me, but I was so far away that these cadets got it instead. So they went.
Which is weird. Like, where's the whole planet of Beta Z? Do they just stay on their planet as farther away?
Also, at the same time, there's a really good novel. I need to dig it out for you so you can read it. The Battle of Beta Z.
Oh, yeah.
The TNG novel, which gives the perspective of like an occupied Beta Z.
Right.
And Loxana is the main character.
Oh, loved Loxana novels.
So
her the spotlight she deserves.
And then we're seeing some of this racquetball thing. The gays love racquetball currently. I mean...
Haven't they since the 90s?
Pickleball? I don't know.
Oh, pickleball.
Whatever. It's the same fucking thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
Racquetball is against a wall, and you have a partner.
Yes.
Yes. Pickleball is against other people, and it's how I fractured my wrist in ninth grade in gym class, because I tried to jump over a net.
Oh, no.
My foot caught, and I slammed down.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did you get an MRI for that, too?
No.
I got an MRI for my wrist. It's very sad.
So, anyway, there's some space fucking racquetball. Anyway, let's skip ahead to where they are breaking into this other doctor's lab. And there is a Chelnoth mercenary or five coming after them.
And Picard it was a Nausicaan that stabbed him.
So
he's a Chelnoth, which is very similar. There's still lots of fangs, except Chelnoth look a little bit more like lions versus eels. That's how I would describe Chelnoth versus Nausicaan.
That's certainly a description. So anyway, they beat up some of these guards, and then the doctor comes in and is like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? Because the Chelnoth, like, take their poor catatonic friend. It's like, I'm about to kill her.
Oh, yeah, because Picard was like, I'll hold them off. Zweller, you take her inside.
And put
and
and he's
Zweller put her in a closet or a cabinet.
Yes.
Came back out to fight. And then the Shalmoth were like, you hid this person very poorly.
So then this doctor comes in and is like, what are you doing? Why are you breaking in? And Picard and other dude are like, hey, Zweller, I'm not going to learn the name of someone who's around for an issue. I'm sorry. They're like, well, it was like super expensive, so we couldn't afford it. We don't have Latinum. And she's like, oh, people who come to me for things they want, I charge. People who come to me for things they need, I don't charge.
Doctor with a heart of gold.
So she helps out Marty, and then the big reveal happens where Zweller is like, Marty's in the room with us.
The phone calls from within the house.
And they're like, what? And it's the female admiral.
It is. This is what happens. Like, there are some times that you need to break the prime general orders of Starfleet in order to save your friend.
And long story short, Picard and Zweller got like a slap on the wrist. They were ground. They were grounded.
Yeah. They made an interesting point here earlier on about how Spock was like, yeah, I'm not going to debate if they went to Talos 4. Clearly they did. But also that the Talosian telepathy is so feared by the Federation that no one can attest. Like, they can't be like, yes.
So they were like, did you see Jem'Hadar or do you think you saw Jem'Hadar?
Right. You'd think the runabout sensors would have records, yes, of what they were scanning, or like T'Priel's transporter.
Yeah.
Murders. But
guess not.
Guess
so
not.
So Spock is like, we can learn from this situation. It's that sometimes you just need to be a little lenient. Okay.
And they're like, we find you all guilty. We are sentencing you to death. Thanks, Spock.
Yes. But not really death. They don't get sentenced to death.
They do.
What?
They do.
Oh, sentenced to be carried out with all deliberate speed.
Yeah.
This whole courtroom drama was for nothing.
Spock did not do a very good job.
No. So this is where we skip ahead an issue. So we'll find out their fate in issue 12.
But we're going to talk about issue 13, and lo and behold, they're all still here.
Yes.
So
this is
T'Priel freaking out, saying, oh, no, not Parents Day at the Academy.
So, you know, we're getting a real zany story. This is a standalone issue because an arc begins with the next one. So
it does. And let's be real, this issue represents the bottle episodes that we love.
Yes.
Like, you get really great character development moments with bottle episodes, which is why, like, some of the critiques that we have of Disco are so potent, because we love them. And, like, the benefits of bottle episodes for injecting some humor, mm-hmm, some personality, you getting to know other crew members besides the main folks. Even though T'Priel was freaking out on the cover, it's Pava who's freaking out. Our parents are coming. And here we go. It is in a letter being narrated to Nog.
Oh, speaking of letters, I don't even know if there was a notable one for the last issue.
Oh, are we backtracking?
A little bit. Actually, no. I don't think there's anything real exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're entering their sophomore year. They're trying to finish out, because after being sentenced to death, becoming fugitives, fighting the Dominion, and saving Federation telepaths from mental mayhem, we return to the Academy only to face the greatest menace of all, Parents Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Nog has gone off to DS9 to hang out with Ram and Lita.
Oh, I forgot. There is one portion of a letter.
Is it gay? Homosexual?
No. Someone wrote in, Andrew Ito of Fort Gibson, Oklahoma. Can old Starfleet Academy favorites like Wes Crusher or Finnegan make surprise guest appearances?
Oh, Finnegan.
It would be cool to see former cadet Nick Locarno, who bears a striking resemblance to Lieutenant Tom Paris on Voyager.
Very striking likeness, not related.
The response, there are no limits on Starfleet Academy's stories, so there's no telling who will turn up.
Locarno, as seen on Lower Decks.
Yes.
Deep cut.
So I'm sorry, but that one is humorous because Finnegan.
Finnegan, ugh, pan flute of Irish.
Yes.
So we get Commander Zund, who has gotten the Barbie treatment. Like, she's got a new headband. Her hair has like five times the volume it did before. It's much more curly.
Some shit went down in the telepathy war, apparently.
Apparently.
And that was a spa day.
Yes. And Pava's like, oh, good thing my mom's too busy. And Zonda's like, on the contrary, Undila Noor is already on her way. I can't wait to meet one of the galaxy's foremost romance novelists. Not that I read them. And Edom is like, that's your mother, the author of A Love More Tangled Than a Tholian Web. Not that I've read them.
That, so what?
Those are some fun.
You know what? She is, and we'll see, a pretty horny mom. She's a single mom who writes hollow novels. Romance hollow novels.
She wishes she could be Loxana, so she's the next best thing.
Yes.
Pava is mortified. And Edom is like, but your family name's different from hers.
And she's like, it is so complicated with Andorians. Like, sometimes the two mothers, they can't decide what name to use. And he's like, what?
Yeah. And like Andorian reproduction, it's complicated. We take the mother's name and add as a prefix the father's name, if there is any. Fathers, if any. And Pava's like, don't worry about it. It's complicated.
It's a very Demand a Martini response.
Yeah. So Zund is like, it won't be too disruptive to have your parents here, which sets up the whole shenanigans.
Because, spoiler, it is disruptive.
Yes. Decker's dad is here, and he's a dick.
He really is.
He's gonna...
It's giving me Ordinary People, where he's like, your brother was so much better than you.
Oh, yeah.
It's very...
I don't get that reference, but yes, it's that effect.
Ordinary People, by a Minnesota author.
Oh.
The Academy Award-winning movie starring Mary Tyler Moore as a very mean mom. Like, oh. It's very out of character. Oh. Because she is always the nice person.
In Minnesota nice, if you will.
And Ordinary People, it's giving. Ordinary People.
It's giving, but it's not giving mother just yet.
No.
So Decker's dad is like, I'm going to have you transfer to Nebula Squadron.
Because your current squad is trash. Omega Squad is trash.
You wanted to be with Yoshi. Now you can.
Do you think that Yoshi's like, I'm making the sword fighting.
So. Oh, Decker and Yoshi? I don't know. It's either like a very annoying straight bro thing. Mm. Or
they're fucking.
Or a casual. Yes.
Which they can still do. It's not like they can't see each other socially.
Yes.
Like they're true. Training with their squad. It's not like.
They can study together in the library.
Study and library in quotes.
In a study room.
Yes.
With the blinds drawn. So Decker sort of defends himself and tries standing up for his dad, but. The dad's not having it. He is going like full macho, you will do as I say. I don't blame you. Under the circumstances, you've done well, but it's time for more normal circumstances. Paperwork's already filed, end of discussion. He even brings up like the whole Decker legacy.
Yeah.
Like,
everyone's done everything from our family for the Federation. It's like, you know, one of your guys just bopped a bald chick and then... decided to like fuck her for eternity as an energy being. That's what he did. Your great great uncle.
I mean, now I know that because we watched the motion picture with a Star Trek gaze.
And that's what really happens, people.
I'm so glad that we met them. Like, not only did we survive the pandemic because of them. Oh no, Asta is under a curtain. Can she get out?
She can get out. She can.
She's just playing.
Yeah, she.
It's very Kermit trapped in the curtains at the Muppet Show.
Yes.
That is what Asta is serving right now. So that's the moment with Decker's
You're
dad.
saying you're thankful for the Star Trek gaze.
Oh, yeah, for getting us through the pandemic and also like having a fun group of people. We can do our monthly trivia and hang out outside of that and watch the movies and just like have a great time together.
In a couple weeks. A couple weeks?
Yeah, is Wrath of Khan? Is
Yes.
that also the first weekend in April? That we couldn't figure out why we were at my place next weekend, but now we know Clyde and movie night. And Asa, you do not want that curtain in that litter box. It is going to be changed tomorrow.
Yes. So,
Back to the comic.
yep. Toxic dad scene over.
Overbearing parents enter stage left. So these are Edom's folks, and he's like, I'm going to meet you in the holodeck. I'm going to show you off my training. And his parents are mortified of
You have a gun. Oh.
this is why we don't like Starfleet, because they're turning into like a military crazy
Also, his
pants.
like thought bubbles to himself. He's such a fucking dick. I do not like this character.
No, there's not a lot to
He's like,
enjoy
even
about
his
him.
thought bubbles are like, I know that they hate weapons. I know that we're gonna do zero G and it'll take them by surprise.
So the parents are like, we insist you transfer to the University of Beta Zed. And he's like, insist all you want, Florn, because he doesn't address them as mom and dad.
It's their first
It's
names.
their first names, because he's a dick. And the parents tearfully are like, we must take drastic action. No, it's wrong, but our son's life is at stake.
Like
So,
I got through the each of these is like 2 pages
yeah,
to
like
set up.
little snippets.
And by the end of that second page, I'm like, fuck all of this. Like, I don't like their kid. I don't like the
Them.
parents. Like, I don't like anything about this situation.
No, they are definitely helicopter parents. We get to Pava next, and she's like, coast is clear. I haven't seen my mom. I'm gonna dip into my room. And there is this buxom, scantily clad, green lacy wearing Andorian woman.
I was going to say buxom as well.
Yes. The Barbie treatment.
Or Elvira treatment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe that fits a little bit better. Except she's not. Oh, what is it? Elvira, Mistress of the Darkness?
Yes.
Yes. This is
She
Mistress of Romance Novels.
yes.
I also, have you seen those? I think they're on Instagram, like random ads from libraries of like the
Yes.
PSAs, but it's for people who take their romance novels they checked out from the library and read them in the bath. So all the pages are warped. And
No.
so these PSAs are like, we want you to enjoy these, but also don't enjoy them in the
Is that
bath.
why you're like you can't bring books to the hot springs?
Well, you can if you're on the chairs outside, but like
No.
you don't want to read them while you're soaking and all the steam is getting all up in the
No.
pages. Like, I don't.
These hot springs are like naturally cleaning, or is someone like throwing pool shock in there?
I think they drain out into the San Juan River.
What's killing all the germs?
It goes out into the river. It's fine. It probably is. Or
Do
like,
people pee in them?
I hope. No, ew.
I don't know what my expectation. I'm picturing like Icelandic hot springs.
So Glenwood is like a giant pool, and then there's like the swimming area off to one side in a separate thing, and then the super hot pool. This one is more like Ouray, where there's different pools of different temperatures, and you sort of like walk around and find the pools that you want. And there's a canteen in the middle. We're gonna have a great time.
What's at the canteen? Like sandwiches?
Drinks.
Okay. I mean, I had a lot of those yesterday for
It's
the
true.
brunch in that play.
We do love.
Ooh.
So we two thumbs up to A Midsummer Night's Dream at the Guthrie. Amazing theater. Like the costumes were fun. It was well done. I enjoyed it.
Okay, back to this
Anyway.
issue. So we have this romance mama.
Romance and Mama. Pava's mortified, but also happy to see your mom. Just as long as no one else can. It's one of those like don't embarrass me vibes that Pava's giving off. And the mom was like, hey, I brought you your pet in this like box that barely fits it and it can turn around.
Poor
Which
thing.
poor thing. This is why we got a gigantic carrier for Clyde, because he's a 10-pound bunny. We don't have a carrier big enough for him and his fur.
So what it turns out, this is like a banned creature.
Yes, she smuggled it through, and it's got the same Andorian antenna, but like a bun bun face, but like a dog.
Yeah.
But monkey hands. It is a hyber.
So something about this, I don't know why they're banned. We're about to find out some reasons probably why.
She's preggers, and we find out that the sex changed in order to have kids. Like, as sometimes happens, or maybe it's asexual.
Oh.
Reproduction, who knows? But like Andorian things, it's complicated. And the mom, like, she's giving Moira Rose of like an affected accent of like, really, darling.
Oh, so she's Mae West.
Yes, okay. All those super long R's. And like, don't accuse me of being a pirate. Just be happy that your pet is here. And Papa's like, just keep Kifis warm and happy, and I'm sure everything will be fine. Tapriel's parents come. They're Vulcan. It's fine. They're like, oh, you're early. The ship utilized a dilithium configuration more efficient by 5.32%. So very Vulcan. And they go through. Are you sure you're fully recovered from the meme virus? And
to the meme virus. Just want to say it is spelled like meme.
It has been. It's affected our culture.
Yeah, it has.
So T'Pril is like, with 99.982 certainty, I am recovered. And, well, there's no logical reason to assume she was unwell.
So it's giving Vulcan.
It's giving Vulcan. Zund is talking to Hava's mom with the little creature. And they're like, just keep her warm and happy. Otherwise, there's a secondary form.
So, and we are about to find out.
Yes. So she comes up with this whole story about why this critter is so important.
It's like, so weird. Like, this mom is a pathological liar. I love it.
It's very Desperate Housewives. Not Desperate Housewives. Real Housewives. There we go. I don't have any patience for that show. But she's
You've liked Atlanta.
For a hot minute.
And then Candy's gone now.
No.
Okay. That's the Real Housewives update for this episode. Candy is no longer on Atlanta, and it makes me sad.
So embedded in the genetic code of this creature is like the secret to maintaining peace on Andoria. Bitch, they've been a founding member of the Federation. They're not going to suddenly implode under their own drama. And they're like, don't tell my daughter. And then we get Kamala's parents, which is super nice. The Goldsteins are here.
Mm-hmm.
They talk to Pava, and they're like, we want you to have this locket. It has a hologram of her.
It's very Tasha Yar.
It's very touching. And Pava's like, I will always wear it under my uniform. I'll treasure it forever. And is something wrong? And the mom has a moment with her. Like, they kick the dad out. And Pava sort of relates that angst that she has with her mom. It's like a very touching moment. They're wonderful. And they're like, yeah, we talked to your mom a little bit. She said that there are things that she can never tell you about. And Pop's like, oh no, she gave you the line about the Tesseract, didn't she? And if something is wrong with the Hybor, we need to go check it out. And there's Kifis had her young, and they are in their secondary form. Like, there's nothing cute. They are not fluffy. Well, they're a little bit fluffy.
They're brown horror creatures.
They're a little bit like the brood. Mm. Lots of teeth. Lots of flying antenna tentacle things. Very clawed. And like, she brought her litter to term here in an hour? And Pop's like, don't worry about it. It's complicated. So they are trying to figure out how do we contain these creatures? Decker's like, oh, it's fine. Oh shit, those are eating my comic books.
Yep.
And this means war. So they set up a containment field around. In the meantime, Decker's dad saves Pava's mom from one by using the same containment box. And Pava's mom was like, oh, darling, you just happened to come in while I'm in only a towel. I just showered, so I'm clean. Like,
they're gonna fuck.
He's like, oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. And she's like, your body temperature has increased half a degree. These antenna are good for more than sensing. Ugh.
Oh.
So they figure it out. Edom tries to use his telepathy. Turns out it's his parents' fault. They were projecting unease. So instead of being warm and happy, Kifis was like, danger, danger, and converted themselves into the secondary form. So once the parents stopped that, the Kifis kits, I'll say, are just in the greenhouse eating the leaves,
Oh, well, you know, good for them.
munching away. And Edom is like, I'm so pissed. I'm not going to talk to you ever again. Bleh.
Yeah.
And that's where the issue ends. So, like, it doesn't do much for us endearing Edom to us, but like,
No.
Pava's mom is fun. I'm glad Decker's dad was found in a compromising position with Pava's mom, and the two of them were just like, this isn't happening.
Yeah.
So.
So we have the statement of ownership, which is never a thing anymore because they
Oh.
probably posted online, but they had to include it in everything in like the 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah, I think I asked you about that once before when I found it in A Son of Satan.
So the average number of copies each issue during the preceding 12 months that are circulated of Starfleet Academy, almost 51,000 issues per month.
Oh, that seems like a lot.
It seems it's not bad. I wouldn't say it's great. There has to be some sort of really cool website that someone's put together
Oh.
with all of these numbers for like each year.
Oh, I wonder what Marvel will say after in these months after Krakoa.
Oh, which I don't know if they, I don't know if they,
Show it anymore?
yeah, but back then they did. And
Yeah.
I have to go back. I have to add in one of the numbers for Alpha Flight from the first statement of ownership, but I did it for each subsequent.
No.
But you can tell like the comic bubble has happened and burst.
Oh no.
But 50,000 for Starfleet Academy, where it.
You don't have, like, Nog is the most well-known
Yep.
character on it, and it's Nog,
Yep.
who was in like 20 or fewer episodes of DS9,
Yeah.
because DS9 has that effect of like, oh yeah, that character. And you
It's my
realize,
favorite, or I hate that person. They're on every episode, and they're like,
no.
Kai Wynn showed up like 25 times.
Louise Fletcher did such a good job, but probably got such a small paycheck because,
Yeah.
like, she's in so few episodes.
Yeah. So
Because she's so good. She has that impact on you.
I thought they were a good set of issues.
Yeah. We finished the Telosian attack, and there's
Yep.
still some fallout.
And which we'll find out in Telepathy War, I guess. But the next arc we're going to go through is like the truth about T'Priel.
Yes, because at the end of Parents' Day, I should have
Oh,
mentioned this
yeah.
sooner. Her parents were like, Commander Zund.
Like they call her back after 2 weeks. They're like, hey, we've been thinking about it a while, and
The only logical conclusion that we have come to, no matter how we think about it, that is not our daughter.
yeah.
Awkward.
Yep.
Who lost to Priel?
So, I guess we'll find that out next time we cover Star Trek stuff.
It's true.
And we'll have a fresh Alpha Flight episode next week.
There
Fun
may or may not be
times.
cake.
Yes. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We will see you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.